love is blind. Isn't that what they say? Love is blind. I've got a great church who loves me. Yeah. Some of you. Rest is here because Mama told you you had to come. But while you're here, I'm glad you're here. But, you know, I just think there's so many things. And we talked about this a little bit in our prayer time this morning. And one of our prayer partners said, well, you know, what about our 200 by the end of this year? And I said, well, it's still an attainable goal to average that. And she said, well, I don't see the fruit. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Kind of like, show me the money. Show me the money, you know. And so we talked about fruit, you know, some fruit in our midst. That's people I look across, and I see some of you wasn't here over a year ago. Chase is one of our new little attenders lately. Yeah, and he's And so we're just here in this community to reach needs. Chelsea's back today, and her friends, and you know. And so, aren't you glad we were here today? Yeah, we're open, and so we're just here to be light and salt where we are. That's all that's required, is we be light and salt where we are. And so you ask yourself, am I light and salt where I am? That's the main thing that we want to be, and that's what God's called us to do. And so we set goals, and that's what I'm going to talk to you today about. I'm glad you're here, and you're lucky that you're here. Because I got a good word. And some of you really need it. I know you, and you really need this. How many, you know, I asked my son this yesterday, setting New Year's resolution. He said, no, not really. You know, he lives in Spain, and he said, I don't really do that. How many set New Year's resolutions? Let me see your hand. Are we just unmotivated or just don't do that? How many sets goals every year? Let me see your hand. Okay, a lot more. Okay. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about, because I think if we have a target, and we're a lot more apt to hit it. And instead of just getting up and saying, well, I'm just going to travel today, I'm just on my road, and, you know, I think whether it's in your marriage or whatever area it's in your spiritual walk, in your physical health, I think if you have a target, then you know whether you're on target or not. Some of you, maybe it'll be a relation type thing that you need to set some goals. But I'm telling you, you'll get there a lot quicker if you'll set goals than you will if you don't. And here's something I believe, and I'll challenge you to do this year, to write it down. When you make a goal, don't just say it, just write it down somewhere. Look on the back of your bulletin if you've got one. Did anybody not get a bulletin? Because you'll need one today if you don't have one. If you'll raise your hand, there's some more out there, and the ushers will get you one. But on the back of this, we've got some. Here's one up here, guys, that didn't get one. So you really need to write this down, and this will be something that will help you. Eric said that he would put this on our bulletins during the entire series for this month. So if you forget your bulletin next month, you don't have to worry about it. It'll be posted on here again. Or if you want to use this one for Sunday and get you another one next Sunday and add to, because hopefully you'll have more goals and things. But I just believe this is ordained of God to bring this message. And I was going to start it last week, and we had Dr. Johnson come preach to us and all. And wasn't that great? Our whole church got saved, so I thought, well, that's what he need to do, get the church saved before we set good goals. And I appreciate your honesty in standing up last Sunday when he came and gave that challenge about who's your Samaritan. That's awesome. If you weren't here last Sunday, the CDs are back there, and you can get one of those. It's Dr. Jeff Johnson, and he preached it, but I'd encourage you to listen to it. But he said the foundation we needed, and so I'm glad that he came last week. But I'm excited about what I'm going to bring to you today. This is something I use in my own life and use as a coach, a life coach in other people's lives. And so I just think it's going to give you good direction for a good year. How many of those good years don't usually just happen? Good years are a product. The success of your life can be found in your daily agenda. Some of you just need to write that down. The success of your life can be found in your daily agenda. You know, when a lot of people, when are you going to start a diet? Tomorrow. I don't know how many times I thought, I need to cut back right after I ate just a big old meal. How many? Whew, I'm going to cut back. Well, sure, you're cutting back tomorrow because you're full right now. And that's the way it is a lot. I'm going to start saving money. I'm going to start me a savings account. You know, that's what we say. I'm going to, you know, I didn't have a savings account with any really means in it like I do now until I said I'm going to not only open one, but I'm going to keep this amount in there. Guess what? I'm a little over that now. See, it took me a while to get there, but now I'm over that amount that it's always in there. And so if something breaks, I don't have to stress. I just write a check. Yeah. But I had to write it down. And I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about that. You know, the Bible teaches, write the vision down, make it clear. And so when the Bible says to do something, you need to take heed, because there's things in there you may not understand, may not even agree with or not even know why, but I'm just telling you, when he says, write it down, make the vision clear, that's a principle, you can just use that. So that's where we're going today. And I'll give you a little snapshot of on the back of your bulletin of kind of what we're going to cover, and we'll start. And by the way, I'm not getting in a hurry, so if this is your last Sunday, well, you know, you'll just miss out. Or you can get the tapes. But I'm not going to get in a hurry, so I'm not going to be concerned about how far I get today or next Sunday. I'm going to go through this with you, and when I'm through, I want just for us to have a foundation laid that we can have a good year in areas we want to work on. Is that fair? If you say amen and nod more, I get more excited. Amen. You know, whoa, you know, there you go. Act like you're excited anyway, okay? That's a faith excitement. Everybody got your sword? You ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Luke, the 19th chapter. And then we're going to turn over to Matthew, the 15th chapter. So you can mark those two places if you'd like. But I want to show you something, and this is we'll come back to this in just a minute when I get into the lesson. But in goal setting, one of the things we talked about this morning in our Bible time was this, that when you set a goal in your life, you know, make sure it's attainable, and I'll talk to you a minute about that. But we've set a goal of 200, for instance, and I think it's attainable for a Sunday morning service. And I just believe that we need to remember, and this is what we told one of our prayer partners: a goal is not God. See, when you set a goal, it's not God. It's just something you strive for, and it gives you something to shoot for. You know, I set my goal weight at 190. Recently, I've been around the 200 mark. Well, that just tells me I'm off my goal. And I know what you're thinking. How do you look so good that overweight? I wear big sweaters. No. But I'm through the holidays, I'm back down to like 197. And I'm on my way back down, you know. And so, the reason I'm aware of what I want to weigh is because I write it down. And I have it right here. And so, would you agree with that, Michelle, or is that a good... Write it down. Yeah, that's our nutritionist. She's on the web. If you're like me and you're looking for your weight, just go on and she'll give you a tip, a hint. Okay? But have that goal. You know, if you want the savings account, write it down. What do you want in there? Can I be honest? When I first put my goal down for my savings, I thought, I don't know, I've never had that much in there before. I do now. Wrote it down. So write it down. And make it clear, but it's not God. If you don't hit your goal, but you know you're heading in the right direction, you're making movement, this is what I know. At the end of the year, you've made movement toward it. You'll be more motivated. You'll be more confident. You'll be more assured that this can happen. Some of you that maybe it's broken relationships, I'm telling you, you don't have to stay there. I've watched people that's just been devastated by death or divorce or loss or terrible relationships and bruises and verbally abused, physically abused, just come back and be a lot better than they ever thought they ever could be, because they decided that it's not about all their circumstances and things around them. It's about what's in here and up here, and about setting a goal and saying, I will have this. How many knows the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world? So you've got the power. Look over at your neighbor and say, you've got the power, baby. Just use it. Yeah. Well, some of you are not very excited about that, do you? Maybe you don't got the power. Yeah. All right. Well, you can get the power. It's available through Jesus Christ. And I just want to read you, just in Luke, the 19th chapter, You know, he's gone and he's spent the day with a rank sinner. Everybody talked about Jesus when he went to Zacchaeus' house. Oh, he's gone home to be with a sinner. Can you imagine that? A Christian going home to be with a sinner. And let me encourage you, hang around sinners this year. And don't be so holy. Just love them where they are. You know, we're all sinners except for the grace of God. And we all fight battles the same. It's just that we said yes and surrendered to Jesus Christ. So hang around sinners, love them where they are, and just learn from them. I like to just see different cultures, and there's a crusty man, just kind of a foul mouth, but he travels all over the world, and he's a chef and he's a writer, and I just like. At noon, it's sometimes when I eat my lunch, I'm at home and I come out of my reading room and I'll make me a little sandwich or something and I'll sit there and watch Anthony Bourdain. And they have to bleep him all the time because he's just potty mouth, you know. But he shows you so many places in the world and all these cultures and what they eat and how they live and stuff. And that excites me, so I don't care. And I'm glad they bleep him out, but I just enjoy where he takes you. You know, but some of you are so holy, you just couldn't watch him because he's not, you know, he's got a potty mouth. And I'm just saying, when we get so holy that we can't receive what other people have because they're not spiritually where we think we need to be, you're going to miss a part of life. You're just going to. And so I'm just saying, you need to hang out with people that interest you, that have a, and I don't hang out with him personally, but he takes you all over the world in parts that, you know, and then. It's just exciting to me just to get to travel through TV and watch this and all. When we went to Spain this year, it was one of the things I thought, I wanted, you know, like Anthony, he just hangs out with the natives and eat what they eat and goes where they go. And so that's what we did in Spain when we went and seen our son and his family. We just did what the natives did. And that was exciting to me. But he was kind of my inspiration on doing that and experiencing that part of the culture. And so just let me be light where you can this year. That's what I'm trying to say. Be light where you can. So he's hung out with Zacchaeus all day long, and everybody, he's such a thief, really, up to this point, that everybody says, I can't believe he's going to his house. Can you believe that? Jesus is going over to his house. And then Jesus puts us on track because he says, let me tell you why I'm over at this guy's house. And he says, here's the goal in verse 10. For the Son of Man, Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see where his goal took him? It took him to a place where he could seek and save that which was lost. Now, one of the things we talked about in our Bible study this morning was this, that if we're going to reach 200 on an average worship service, then you and I all need to seek and to save that which was lost in the way that God's called you to do it. You got a neighbor that's lost. You got a family that's lost. You got somebody in your community that's lost. Whoever it may be. Somebody you build a relationship with at the gym. I've got several relationships at the gym now, and I hadn't talked to anybody about Jesus, and most don't even ask what I do. But I know Dave and Barbara and different ones that I see in there in the gym every morning, and just building a relationship with them, and probably somewhere along the way, Mary and different ones, you know, that I'm beginning to develop a relationship. I just know that somewhere along the way, in fact, I forget it, Mary's brother, Mary's probably 74 or so, and walks 5 miles every day, little skinny thing, and she just on that treadmill, what is, and then she does some, but I've just become a friend of hers. We started talking one morning months ago, and so her brother was sick a while back, and I said, well, we'll put him on our prayer chain, and I said, how's your brother, Mary? And so, you know, that's a part of my goal is to reach people, just like because this is a part of what he said. Is it my strengths, outreach and evangelism? No, but it's a part of my goal because he said make it a part. Just being light where you are. Now, let me give you, be light and relax. You know, don't stress out about it. Just be light. I mean, no, even a bug has enough sense to come to the light. So just be light. Just be light where you are and watch the Holy Spirit work. Now, the other scripture, turn with me to, let's just go to Matthew 10. That's probably a better, Matthew 10. And so this is Jesus, and I'm just giving you scriptures to let you know that, you know what, He set goals. He had a goal, and he stayed on that goal. In fact, one of the things when I first read it in the Bible was where the lady that had the demon possessed daughter, remember that? And she came and really had to press him before he would cast this demon out. And you'd think, this is Jesus. I mean, if somebody brought a demon possessed daughter to him, he would just quickly hop on that. But he gave the reason why. He said, I'm not sent except for the lost sheep of Israel. And that's what this verse tends to. But he said, if I can get... And here's what I want you to get in your heart. The reason I believe personally, this is just my little opinion, but the reason I believe most of us Americans don't hit goals is because we don't set goals. And the reason we don't set goals is because we're scattered in 50 different directions. Maybe 60. Said the retired guy. Just a thought. And so we can't be effective in any area because we're so scattered in all areas. Here's what you ought to get excited about. When we set goals, we'll know what to say no to, and so we're not so busy, but we're a lot more effective in the areas we're focused on. Yeah. See, you know, if you set goals and set them right, you won't become more busy, you'll become less busy, and you'll become more productive. Hallelujah. I need some cheerleaders. Come on. Hallelujah. Some of you is going to have a savings in money in the bank at the end of the year for the first time ever. Woo! Some of you is going to restore relationships you thought never would be restored. And when you do, I want you to come give me a dollar, okay? Just tell me, you know, save your story. It's a good story. Here's your dollar. Ooh, I don't know what you're talking about, okay? No, I'd rather hear your story, okay? So don't get so busy. I'd rather hear your story. This is what happened to me. This is what... I set the goals the first of the year when you preach that sermon series, and I set it, and here's where I am at the end of this year. Jesus says, when he not only... He's focused. He's setting a goal. Go in Matthew 10, in verse 5. And then Jesus sent out 12... the 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And last week, Dr. Johnson was talking about the Good Samaritan being the hero, and he said, well, and a rule, don't go there. Did Jesus not like them? No. He had a goal of reaching the lost sheep of Israel while he was here walking on earth. How many knows why? Because he can't reach everybody while he's here. He's one man, so today I'm going to do what I do, and then when I'm gone and I do this for Israel, it will be open to everyone, including the Gentiles. But right now, this is my goal, this is what I'm focused on, so don't mess with the Samaritans. Don't go to Oklahoma, stay in Israel. If we'd have been around at that time, we'd have been in Oklahoma, we'd have been calling Jesus, will you come to Oklahoma? And he had said, no. Well, I can't believe he won't come to Oklahoma. A lot of people in the United States won't even come to Oklahoma. Give Jesus a break. I can remember when we were over by the college, we'd pastor a lot of college students, and they'd say, this is our wilderness time. We're in Oklahoma. I said, well, your wilderness is my livelihood. But he wouldn't have come. He wouldn't have come here if he had had opportunity, if he had means and resources. He would not have come to Oklahoma because he's not sent to Oklahoma, and it's okay. I have people just every so often, Pastor, you know what you need to be doing? Well, yes, I do. Thank you for asking, though. That's what I want to say. I don't, but I'll just say, what's that? You know, and they'll tell me what I need to be doing around here. And you can tell me, but I'm probably not going to do it, okay? Just be aware, because I pretty much know what God has called me to do for my church. And I do what I'm passionate about and excited about because I can sustain that, but I can't sustain what you want me to do. I can't even sustain what Jana always wants me to do, so I'm sure not going to do what you want me to do. Are you with me? I do have to work on Jana, because I mean, that's If it's you know, and there are things I do because that's long term for her. She's a boss. That's well, that's true. And that's biblical, guys. Love them like Jesus loved you. And he said, you can be the boss. I'll just save you. I'll give you mercy, grace, but I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do. You don't have to serve me. You don't have to give your tithe. You can rob me if you want to. We'll just deal with you later. You know, all these things. We don't have to love your enemies if you don't want to. I'll just deal with you later. But you won't receive the blessing in what God promises if we're not doing what He told us to do. But He's not the boss. He lets you be the boss. And so that's the way it is. But do what you're passionate about. We had a homeowners meeting this week, and a little lady, probably in her probably 65 or so, and she don't work outside the home. I don't know if she ever did or not, but she is. Her name is Georgia, and she works with the police and the city of Oklahoma City and doing neighborhood watches, and so we had our annual neighborhood watch meeting, and she came, and we were getting a new vice president, and so I told him, I said, just tally up the votes and stuff, and we'll put her on, and that way she can do her part, and we'll have our business stuff done, and then I'll take over, and we'll do that. So Georgia, she sat there for 20 minutes. Now, when I say there's a little lady coming in the community, and she's going to talk to you for about 20 minutes about neighborhood watch, you think, oh, Lord. Or that's what I would think. Is that exciting to you? You know, we're going to watch this little granny just talk about the neighborhood. I'm telling you, for 20 minutes, she had us just like this. And then she'd have us laughing. And then she'd have us saying, oh, that's good. When she got through, I said, Georgia, you are the queen of neighborhood watch. I'll tell you. And everybody's like, oh, yes, she was. I mean, I thought, you know why she could do that? Because she's passionate. She told us a story. She said, let me tell you, for instance, this is the power of community. And she's got us all in her, you know, just captivated. This is the power of community. Willie, the drug dealer, I moved in a historical part of town. And I think that's a way of saying I moved in an old, rough part of town. But I don't know. That's what she said. A historical part of town. And Willie, the drug dealer, was there. And I didn't know what he was doing. But this car's coming in and out all hours of the day and night. And finally, I figured out, oh, somebody said, he's a drug dealer. Willie's a drug dealer. She said, well, we need to do something about that, so we call the police. Every time there's suspicious activity, we call the police. They wouldn't do anything, so we kept calling the police. We all got on board, and we called 30 times a week. We were calling the police. Finally, they come out and busted Willie. And we thought, we all celebrated. We all got our, she said, margaritas, and we all celebrated. I told our homeowners group there, I said, okay, and now when Georgia left us, if I heard her correctly, we need to have more parties and put more money in the budget for margaritas. Is that what you heard? But she said, and we celebrated. And she said, but guess what? 2 days later, drug dealer Willie is back in his home, and here comes the cars again. She said, so I said, what can we do? And we got together as a community, and guess what we did? We went down and we looked at the courthouse, and Willie didn't own that house. So we called the landlord and said, did you know they're dealing drugs out of your house? And he said, well, Willie pays his rent. I don't care what Willie does. That's Willie's business. She said, okay, we'll just let you know whenever there's any suspicious activity. She said, about 30 times a week we would call. There's suspicious activity over at your house. I just thought you'd want to know. And said he quit answering the phone after about the first 5 or 6, 7, 8 calls. Said, but we didn't care. We just kept leaving him messages on his phone. Said, guess what? About 2 months later, guess what? Willie lost his lease. She said, I'm telling you, there's power in community. If you'll all just get together. And I thought, we just need to get together. You know why I thought that? Because she was passionate about community. Let me ask you something. What are you passionate about? Because if you're passionate about something, I guarantee you one thing, you will make it. You'll make it if you're passionate about it. You know, we lose passion because we get beat up all the time. And then here's what we do, and I want you to stop it. I want us to stop it. We get beat up all the time, and so what we do is focus up on the bruises and on what we've been beat up about and who beat us up and why they beat us up and how much of a victim we are. Stop it. Stop. So you got beat up. Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? I mean, as long as you're breathing, you're going to have challenges. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, not the sinner, of the righteous. The way of the transgressor is hard. So our way is not hard. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Here's your thought for 2:10. A challenge will make you better if you go through it with Jesus and a good attitude. A challenge, you'll just be better than you were last year. So if you look at a challenge, you're saying, you know what, it's a challenge. So what am I going to do? Am I going to whine about it, or am I going to get up and set me a goal to say I'm moving beyond this, and this is where I want to be at the end of 2:10, and quit whining and take that first little step and go get it in Jesus' name. A few years ago, I set me a goal. I said, I want to have a degree. I've never had a formal education. I've always been a good student of the Word of God and reading leadership books. And so I've probably had like 2 or 3 degrees if it was formal education. But I wanted a formal education. And so this year at 54, I got one more class, this Friday and Saturday, and I will be done with my master's degree. And it happened don't clap. I'm old. It's, I don't have time. It's just one little step at a time. One step at a time. It took me from like 2000 or so to now, but it's just one little class at a time, just trudging along and learning. And you know, I thought, I'm going to be reading anyway, and if Jesus don't come or if I don't die, I could make it. I made it, see? But I had a goal to do it. I could have said, and I hear people say that all the time. Jan and I sat with somebody the other day. I don't remember where we were or who it was. She said, I'm just too old. You know, if I wasn't so old, I'd get me a degree. She was 40-something, and oh, was it the concert the other night? Some lady in the front of us, she was just plastered and drunk. And, oh, how many years y'all been married? We've been married 38 years. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I said, it is wonderful. I'm getting divorced. My husband run around on me 3 times. But I'm surprised he hadn't left. You know, bless your heart. Sorry. You know. That's just where she is. She wants to be there. She wants to be there. I'm just so jealous. I thought, well, just work hard. Just work hard at what you want. And you can have what I got. You know? What's the old saying, remember, insanity? Doing the same things over and over and over and expecting different results? Come on, do something different. And it don't have to be huge, but do something different. I'm telling you, this is your year. This is what it is. He says, you know, he sent them out and said, don't go to the Samaritans. He said, but rather, verse 6, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Does that seem kind of prejudiced to you? You know, he's not reaching the black community or the American community as a whole or the Hispanic or the, you know, I think today they just have a heyday with that. Well, Jesus, you don't see him. Well, Jesus, how come you're just focused on Israel? Are you a racist? What are you? He'd say, no, I'm focused. That's what I are. I'm focused. See? Can I tell you something? I'm not very evangelistic. For you that just can share Jesus and you're just excited about it and you want to do it all the time, I admire you, but that's just not me. But I intend to be light where I am. And that's all God requires of me, is to be light where I am. That's what He requires of you. So what are you passionate about? What has God sent you to do? Because there's something that God has sent you to do. You're here for a purpose. You're not just here just by accident. So you're here for a purpose. And in verse 7 he says, go as you preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so all he's saying to them is, you know what? Here's our goal. Stick to our goal and don't go on these other places and doing other things. You know, I don't want you to start this kind of campaign or do that kind of campaign. Here's what I want you to do. He's very focused. He had his goal set. He had a short time to achieve it, and he had it set. Let me give you, if you got your pencils, let me give you 10 categories. This is part of our training we went through at one point in our life coaching. But this is 10 categories that in just to help you focus. Write on your paper somewhere, clarity is power. Clarity is power. The clearer you are, do you see how clear Jesus was? We're not going anywhere but to the lost sheep of Israel. We're not getting involved with feeding programs and feeding the poor. He did that if it was immediate need, but he didn't get into that. He got into reaching lost people or healing sick people. That was his two focuses, and that's where he mainly focused, was right there. He didn't have a music program for all you that love music. You know, that was something at the church, but he didn't have a band following him around and they open up with praise before the crusades. That just wasn't part of his deal, you know. So here's 10 life categories. One is your spiritual life. And the reason this is number one is because if your spiritual life, can I tell you this? And I don't know if you'll grasp it the way you need to, but I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this one, all the others will be better. But your spiritual life, if you don't have goals in your spiritual life, and if it's not solid, everything else will not be as good as it should be, or right where it should be, or as effective as it should be. Because we cannot walk in patches of darkness and have light and fulfillment and reach our potential in all these other areas the way we should. And then you say, well, how about Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and all these successful, you know, millionaires, billionaires? What? Well, you know, they are focused on, but I'm just telling you, as a well-rounded in all their areas, I don't care who they are, and they may be spiritual giants. I've heard they do some great charity work, giving billions of dollars, so there probably are. But I'm just saying, you know, there's some laws you can follow. If you sow to certain things, even as a rank sinner, you can reap things, because you're reaping or sowing and reaping, and that'll just happen. So if you're ever wondering why there's some rank sinner that's doing better than you are financially, that's probably his whole thrust or her whole thrust is in financial areas, and they're a good steward over it, so they reap in that area. But they'll have lack in other areas. I know they will, because that's what the Bible teaches us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, spiritual life. You know, everything about your relationship with Christ, devotion life, your spiritual disciplines, personal worship, retreats, sabbaticals, you know, just getting away. Most successful people, trainers, motivational speakers, CEOs that I study, most of them, you know what, they have a sabbatical time every year where they don't, it's not a vacation time, it's just a sabbatical time, a clearing of the mind time. They go and they just spend hours, a weekend, whatever they can afford, some of them a lot more. Down at the concert the other night, Brad Paisley says, well, I hope I can remember all the words to my songs. I had 6 weeks off for Christmas like everybody gets. Didn't you all get 6 weeks off, he says, for Christmas? Brad Paisley is a creative genius, is what he is. And he kept us spellbound for about an hour and a half or so. But you can tell he's sowing to that laser focus of writing and singing and playing his music, and he's just, it's phenomenal. But take that retreat. You know, he took a 6 week sabbatical. Most of us can't afford that, but you know what? We can afford something. And you can't afford not to. Just to clear your mind. Just take a weekend where you don't have an agenda and just pray. Take walks in the woods, along the beach, whatever you do, but just have a spiritual retreat week or weekend or day where you just say, this is a day for you. This is my day of rest. Nothing's on my calendar, you know, just, but spiritual life. Put that down as one. And then marriage life or single life. Wherever you're at right now, that's an area. How's it going? How's it going? Probably, I don't know how many years ago, but, you know, Jan and I have always had a good relationship, but I thought, there's just areas I just want to improve. And so I started working harder and taking extra effort and doing intentional, it's called intentional living, you know, and just doing a few things different intentionally. And it just really enhanced our marriage, and she fed off that and reciprocated, and that just happens over a period of time. Some of you that, you know, you're trying to restore a broken relationship, let me tell you something. You just keep sowing good seeds. They may not give that back to you right off the bat because they've been through it before and they know the pattern. There's a good word said and there's 10 bad words said, blah, blah, blah. Just keep repeating the good pattern. Because that's what he said. Just keep sowing good seeds, and in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Some people's fainted too much. You know, just keep sowing good seeds. How many knows, if you go out in your garden this spring and you keep sowing good seeds and you keep watering, something's going to come up and something's going to produce. It's the same way in any area that you're focused on. If you'll just keep sowing good seeds to that thing, I guarantee by the promise and authority of God's Word, good things will come up. And that's another part of this we need to attach, is your belief. It's called faith. The just shall live by faith. Not by how you feel, not by how it looks. The farmer don't say, well, I just don't feel like nothing's happening under the soil. It's been a day and a half and I can't see anything. I just don't feel like it's going to work this year. We got an apple tree out back, but I'm just not sure it's going to produce apples this year. What if oranges come out? What are we going to do? Eat them, yeah. You know why an apple produces apples? Because it's focused. And it's doing what God called it to do. I used to live out on the farm, and I never had a peach tree produce an apple. Never. I never went out there, and my peach tree had a confused look on its face and said, now, what was it I was producing last year? I've had trees that would blow over. They'd be so old. But they have a root lift in the ground on this side and they'd still produce apples out here. Give me hope. I thought, you know, I may be knocked down, but as long as I got something down in the soil, I can still produce something. And for some of you that feel knocked over, knocked down, and beat up, just keep a root down in the soil. You'll produce something. And then the third one is family and children. You know, get intentional about that. There's some opportunities and things that I could have done that I don't do because, you know why? I don't want to travel. You know why I don't want to travel? Because I value my time with my wife. We exercise almost every day after her work. That is precious gold to me. Can I tell you that? One, because we're getting older, we need to be in good shape. But we just talk. And sometimes we just walk or exercise and don't do a lot of talking. But we're always there together. That's just gold to me. And as I went through a process of looking at my goals, and I thought, I don't want to give that up. I'm not going to. You know, I'm not going to travel. And I was talking with some people the other day, and they said, well, you know, it'll be about 40 days a year. And I always dabble in business. I'm just a business-minded person. I love business. And so I'm just, right now we're doing coaching on the side and all that. The dean and I are hooking up, and we're going to develop a little coaching company so we can help churches like ours and different places. But to do recruiting and stuff, they want to travel like 40 days a year or something. I said, no. You want to do some ministry? You know, we got some ministry. Boy, you'd be. I said, no. No. I don't want to do that. See? Here's what I know. Sometimes when you're developing yourself, Satan will come along and he'll offer you something that you think, boy, that'd be good. But it'll take, if you don't have something written down for your personal goals, you'll just follow that right on off and think you're just, oh, you're really being promoted and you're really walking in tall cotton now, man. Look at this. And you've just walked right out of God's purpose and the things that really matter most to you. Unless you have a goal. Guess who I'm going to be there for almost every evening after work? Miss Jana. That's why she loves me, because I pay attention to her. Every morning, guess what I tell her? You look pretty. The other morning, I don't know what, we got busy, and she walked in and she said, well, am I pretty? I said, you sure are. You're pretty. Well, I didn't think you told me, and then she walked on out to go to work. You think, well, she's a pretty woman. Why does she need all that affirmation? Because she likes it. That's why she knows it. Guess what I do every morning before she goes to work if it's cold? I get her little key and I go out and start her car. You know why? Because I'm focused on family and on children. I take my grandchildren out every Wednesday night for ice cream. In this ice and snow. We're going out for ice cream? Well, of course. You know why? Because they're a priority to me. I'm just glad I get to send them home with summer when we're doing. Miss Donna sugars them up, and I sugar them up, and we send them home. Hallelujah. Woohoo. We sugar daddy up one night, and they said she didn't go to bed like 3 in the morning, wouldn't go to sleep, kept coming in the room. I love grandparenting. Marriage and single life, you know, it says relationship to your spouse, dates, decision-making, friendships, roles, if you're married or as a single person, roommates, dating, standards as a single person, you know, those kind of things. Very important. Family includes everything related to your own children, rearing children, school and home, home life. Let me inject this. For some of you young kids, they don't need to play every sport. They don't need to be involved in every opportunity. Here's what I'd suggest looking back is pray fervently for your children and say, God, show me their abilities. Give me the eyes to see what my kids are really good at and help me steer them, just like Jesus steered his 12 when he said, don't go here. Don't go to Samaria. I don't want to see you over there, all right? He's a grown man. I don't want to see you over there. I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. If it's a Jewish town, go there. If it's not, stay out of it. And do the same for your children. I know parents that they let them play every sport and they're always off doing something else because their junior has to play everything. So I'm for sports. I think it builds teamwork and all that stuff, but I get focused on it. Help them focus. Summer was a little achieved. You know, she just loved to do. You know, and very relational. On her report card, she loves to participate. Well, she gets that from her daddy. And so she'd want a horse so she could rodeo, and she'd want to do cheer, and she'd want to do jazz, and she'd want to, you know, and so she had a lot of things. We just had to help her say, well, what do you want to do now? We're going to focus this down. So, and nothing wrong with that, but help them. You know, Tiger Woods, bless his heart, he's in trouble right now, but the kid from this high to world-renowned champion, all he thought about is one sport. Michael Jordan, how many sports do you think about? One. Remember when Michael tried to play AAA baseball? Put the bat down, Michael. Just go home, you know. Focus. Just help your kids focus, because if you help them focus on, and here's two things I'd say about that. One is what they're good at, and one is what they're passionate about. And usually those two will line up together. Not always, but usually they will. They'll line up. So just watch them. What are their little eyes just light up about when you talk about, you know, and help them focus on that. And then your work, you know, this touches on your job roles, entrepreneurial activities. I think everybody should have a main, you know, like this church and pastoring is my main focus, but I have all kinds of interests, always have, outside of the church. And it brings different focus for me. I need that. And so it brings a different focus and a different challenge. And if you're a high D, a dominant type person, or you need a challenge. It'll say right on your profile, you need a challenge. A shock every once in a while just does you good. Just to say, well, boy, this come up, and you just say, I'm getting after it. I'm going to do this. You know, that I need that once in a while. So, but have something that you're excited about. If you're working in a factory or working in a job that you say this is not it's just putting the bread on the table, then I'd highly recommend that you do something on the side that just really you'd say, you know what, I would love to be able to do this for a living. I could do this from now till Jesus comes, and would be excited about getting up every morning. I challenge you to look at that on the side in your work. Something you can probably make a little money at if you were good at it. Did you know if you're the best in the world, you can make millions of dollars doing anything? How many believe you could make millions of dollars if you could really ride a bicycle fast enough? Lance Armstrong. So just about anything. How many know if you could ride a big old bad bull for 8 seconds? Well enough, you know, just you could make over $1 million, $2, $3 million a year now they make. That's all they do. Last Saturday, the Friday night, the Ford Center was packed wall to wall. Brad Paisley came out there with his guitar and just on a little stool, just sitting there. Start a band, he said. Just him and his guitar all the way through almost the whole song, and then all of a sudden this screen comes open and there's the band and there's the lights, and I thought, boy, did he start a band. But he's just focused and passionate about that. See? So what are you passionate about in your work? And if it can't find it at work, well, what would be something you could do on the outside? I'm telling you, it brings life. It's the only reason it just brings life to a mundane, otherwise mundane life. Church and ministry. Number five, your involvement in church as a layperson, small groups, leadership roles, committees, individuals, activities, mentoring, to be a mentor to someone. You know, look around young people and connect with people. Service projects, if you've got something on your heart, we might partner with you on some local stuff. We do local stuff, and if you had a heart to lead it, we might partner with you. I'm not going to do it if you tell me, you know what you need to be doing, remember? But if you have a passion and are willing to lead, we might partner. We've done that a lot of times. Donna Fabrizio, a couple of years ago, wanted to feed down there, and Mark and I talked about the ladies organized, and well, they took it and run with it, and we fed 600-plus people that day, hamburgers and hot dogs and all the stuff to go with it. And so we'll partner with people that want to do ministry inside and out the church. But we got all kinds of things you can do around here where you mow and teach and clean and greet and sing and whatever else you're talented at and passionate about. Number six, financial stewardship. Do you have financial goals? I'm learning, you know, you're getting old, whether you got any financial goals or not. Old still comes. How many has got enough financial goals that if it breaks, you're not worried anymore? You know? stressed out about it. So get you some financial goals and just set. And here's what's amazing. I don't know why, but just write it down. Just write it down and watch the magic work. There's something that just does to your brain that just takes you toward your goals. Number seven is physical stewardship. Physical stewardship. People you see that are healthy and in good shape, there may be a few exceptions, but most of it is because it's on purpose living. Your body's a temple. So it includes things like giving, stewarding of possessions, nutrition, eating habits, exercise, rest. How many knows rest is a big deal today? We look like a wore-out society. What politician was it saying, you know what, America's run by a lot of tired old men. rest. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and I said, he said, man, I'm just tired. I said, well, how do you feel? Why don't you go and take a nap? You feel guilty if you went home and take a nap? He said, no, I used to, but I don't anymore. Listen, sometimes you just need to take a nap. Oh, there's things to be done, Pastor, I know, but sometimes you need to take a nap. Now, I'm not much of a napper, but I do like to rest on Saturday mornings. This Saturday morning, I can't remember the last time I slept this long, but I slept. Jan said, are you going to get up? It's almost 10 o'clock. Of course, it was up to about 1 or so at that concert, but I thought, man, you know, when you get old like this, you don't sleep that long, do you? How many old people sleep past 8 or 9 o'clock on Saturday? Oh, really? Wow. Jose's not old. Yeah. So just shout to me just so I know. The average if you're 60 or over, what time you get up on Saturday morning? Just let me hear.
11.
Okay.
You mean there's a Saturday?
There's a Saturday. Yeah, you're retired. You don't count. Anybody else? 10? Wow. Okay. I need to pray about that then. I just thought, you know, when we moved to the farm, I told Jana, I said, we got to get up now at 4:30. She said, well, why do we have to get up at 4:30? I said, well, I don't know. I hadn't figured that out yet, but all the people in the country get up at 4:30. I don't know what we're doing yet. She said, get up. And then I got cows, and I thought, oh, that's what they're doing, taking care of those before you go to work. But taking care of yourself. Stress management, you know, that's a part of your physical, isn't it? Stress management. Listen, as Christians, we need to learn how to manage our stress. You know, stress is good when you got a deadline. That's a little puts if you take it in perspective. When a relationship's out of order and you feel that stress to make it back, it's good if you'll use it to motivate you to do something about it. But when we stress and we don't have a plan, that's bad stress. Are you with me? You're just stressing, and you make statements like this. This is a hint. I don't know what I'm gonna do. That's bad stress. Take that statement and shoot it. So I'm going to I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the face of God. You know, that's a given, isn't it? Number two, you know, I'm stressed out about this relation, this deadline, this whatever. So I'm going to take one action step, just a small one, just a small step. But I'm going to take a step and I'm going to go forward in this in Jesus' name. So manage your stress. If you don't, it'll kill you. It'll put you in the hospital. It'll hurt you. What else? Physical environment. You know, if I can't go to the gym because my day's just got too much in it, I just lay right there in my front room. I got little weights and jump ropes and things, and I just do that. So create a plan B. I'm coaching a pastor right now up in Maryland, and he told me there's this pattern keeps coming up, and he said, I don't have time. And then now he's just got promoted to bishop in his district. I said, tell me about your schedule with your bishop. Tell me about what you're going to do. You just took on more responsibilities. You said your schedule's too busy already. Tell me give me an outline of what you're going to do. What's that look like? And he had a good answer. He said, the district has given me money. And I've got my associate hired now. I'm going to take a lot of the responsibilities of the things that I had to do because we didn't have money, and I'm going to transfer it over there, and they're going to take care of that. And my travel is limited because he was using that as part of his reason for not having a healthy body, and he's a diabetic, and he's almost lost his foot. So you know what? He's excited about having a coach that'll help him keep his foot. See? But here's the thing: if you're a good steward and have a goal physically before you get there, there's two kind of people I notice in our gym. There's people before the stroke and people after the stroke. That's what I've just noticed. And I'm not trying to be funny. That's what I've noticed. We've got two or three people that come in like this. You can tell it's on one side of their body they've stroked, but now they're in the gym. One guy's not very old. He's not as old as I am. He's probably in his 40s, and but now he's there a lot. But he's still battling with that stroke, and I saw him fall over one day right between the bikes. And so we need to take care. This is the only temple we're getting down here. How many knows? When we get to heaven, we're going to be transformed. We're going to have a heavenly body. Woo-hoo! But down here, this is it. This is what you got, so take care of it while you're here. But have a goal. Just take a goal and make a small step. One of the books I read this year on One Small Step to Success, he told a lady that was just stressed out, she'd tried every kind of diet. He said, "Can you just stand on the treadmill for 1 minute a day this week?" She said, "Well, I could do that." He said, "Well, just do that this week." So she went and she stood on the treadmill while she watched TV for 1 minute. But guess what she started doing while she was there? Just walk. Yes, she turned it on. A few weeks later, she had a whole regiment she was doing because he convinced her she could do one little thing. I use that in my reading room, my office, and my reading room is complete right now, but my books were up here and books down here and papers in the bottom. I threw away three trash cans. And all I said, because I thought, man, it's such a mess in my closet but I read that little book and I thought, what's one small thing I could do? And I thought, and he told one lady that was having trouble organizing, said, "Could you move one paper clip and put it in this place this week?" She said, "I could do that." And she moved one small paper clip and put it in this place. But guess what happened? She moved another one while she was there. And she started getting over. So I took that and I started, I thought, well, I'm going to do the bottom of my little bookcase today. And I got in there and I got that done. I got the top straightened out. And I got the whole thing done in about 2 or 3 hours. Boy, such a relief. And then the next week I did a little bit more in my little reading room closet, which was just stuff stacked here and all my folders where I coach people and stuff. Just now they're all in binders. They all have a name in the back of it where I put their name. I can just pull it right out. And I've got all their information on the front of the folder. And all these clients, I can just pull it out and look at them. And they're right there on my fingertips. And all of my bookmarks and my pencils and my scissors are all arranged in a little tray there on the shelf. And here over in this other is my materials and coaching resources. And I can just put, and I know where everything is. And it's wonderful! Start one small step. One small step. What can you do? Stop saying what you can't do and say, "What can I do?" Personal development. Listen, if you want to keep growing and keep getting better every year, you ought to be a student, a lifelong student. But things to do is like personal development, as exercise your intellect, build life skills. Maybe you could learn a life skill this year that you some of you always wanted to paint or draw. Take a class. I'm excited because this year I knew right after the first year I was going to start back on my Spanish, and I'm doing that just as self-discipline at home. And so in the evenings I'll get my little Rosetta Stone and I'll put it in my ears and I'm sitting there. I got it out the other night and Jana didn't know what I was doing. She came around the bar, she said, "What are you doing?" Because I'm trying to speak Spanish and that stupid thing won't pick up my Oklahoma slang. And so if you say the phrase correctly, it goes like a harp or something. And if you say it wrong, it goes doo-doo. 15 times. I'm saying it just like she said it, I thought, and it said, doo-doot, doo-doot. I thought, "I'm going to throw you across this room, you doo-doo, one more time, you know." But that's a personal goal of mine. I want to speak Spanish to my Spanish friends when we go to Guatemala, and I don't want translators anymore. I hate that. I despise that. And so I'm going to learn Spanish. Some of our travelers, Eric and Adam and Haley, and some of them learning Spanish. And so learn a new skill. You can do it. It's hard. Once you get old, it's hard, but you can do it. Just a little bit every day. Maybe musical. Some of you want to pick up an instrument. Take a lesson. Learn sailing. You know, write a book. My wife told me a while back, she said, "I want to write a book someday." I thought, "Oh, Lord, I hope she's kind to me when she writes her book, you know." But she wants to write a book. She's thinking about even going to school, going back to school, and getting a law degree. You know, she's tossing that around. So, what is it that you think, man, this could be my year? I always wanted to do that. And then just see how much fun that would be because you took one small step to get to that. Some of you in here, I believe you could own your own company if you just had a little faith in yourself and would take a small step. Or maybe a business on the side. I think some of you have just got talent sitting here, just been latent for a long time. You just need to say, I need to revise that. And that's what I'm doing right now, just trying to stir up the gifts. The Bible says, stir up the gifts that's within you. What is it you're really passionate about? You know. Number 9 is social stewardship. You know, friends, having a social life. Donna and Jimmy were over last night. We had a few leaders over and fed them some steak and stuff. And Jana says, you guys need to call. They live right around the corner from us. You know, the guys need to call us. We go out that back and places they like to go. We've been with them for it. And she said, we hadn't done that in a long time. We go out to eat by ourselves mostly. And I told Jimmy, I said, well, if she'd be more friendly, we'd have more friends. They didn't agree with that. Donna said, it could be Jack, you know. But listen, just a hint here, if you don't have any friends, it could be you. Could be you. Just a thought. Okay? You know, make a commitment that says to make the world a better place. You know, when I come and when I leave, it's just going to be a little bit better than it was. Sometimes at the gym or at the grocery store, I'll see stuff laying around. You know, somebody's knocked off a shelf. I'll just stop and pick it up and put it back in its place if I know where that goes. If not, just put it somewhere, you know. Just the habit of making it a better place. Personal evangelism, sharing your faith from time to time. The Rotary Club, I know Eric's involved in some civic clubs around town here. School board, PTA, coaching Little League, political organizations. You know, there's things to get involved in that just, and it'll just make, to give yourself away. That little homeowners association that I'm involved in, we're just a small little group, but man, you know what we did? We went in the red for 6 or 7 years that the developers had it. And our first year, we put a little border out front with bricks, and we had it landscaped, the front looked better. We put electrical, we had Christmas lights this year, and still had, with all the stuff we accomplished, almost $7,000 in our budget. We just all high-fiving the other day. We're getting new signs. We got a goal to get new signs this year because we have money now, and that's something that, you know, when I applied and they just volunteered my name, they needed help, and I didn't know I'd be the president, but you know, they made me president this last year, and man, we're doing good. And you know what it takes? My time. But now when I drive by all the neighbors and they're just waving, you know, like, we did it, didn't we? We're getting there, you know. It gives me a sense of purpose in my community. So give your time away. Get social. And then the last one is this, recreation and hobbies. What do you do to relax? Let me just say, what do you do to relax? Recharge. How many knows you got to recharge your batteries? That's why, like the concert, we gave a little extra for tickets and had really good seats, you know. But it just recharges us to see somebody that's that creative and the big screen was bigger as our walls here across and back behind him when he came on. It wasn't like that with his little preliminary people, but you could tell this is the man. And he had some great stuff on it. Just touch your heart, make you cry, make you laugh, you know. But it was relaxing to us. Vacations? How long has it been since you took a vacation? Well, we don't have what? Time. We don't have money. Well, you do. I'm telling you, if you'll plan it this year, you can take a vacation. You can have, if you stay within your budget, you can have it and you can have a very good time and you'll enjoy it and you'll come back and thank me later. Bring me a souvenir of where you've been this year. Holiday gatherings, outings, hobbies, dining out, parties, sports, you know. What kind of recreation do you like to do? Well, I don't do anything. Well, do something. Go out and have some fun. You know, we like to snow ski and took a big bike trip this last summer, went to Grand Canyon, through the Rockies, and you know, and if you can't afford to do that, do something. Go down to the lake and pitch a tent. Yeah, that's what we always did growing up. Just go down to the Murray or one of the lakes and pitch a tent and cook out and just have a good time. Chill out. Relax. Relax your brain for a while. Take a break from your thoughts. Now I'm going to start on this back of your bulletin next week, and we're going to talk about a SMART goal. How to develop a SMART goal. Really important. It'll help you. It'll help you keep on schedule and give you accountability. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for putting us on this planet for a purpose. There's not one person on this planet that's here by accident. There's not one person that's here on this planet that you haven't given purpose. They have a design, a divine design on what they should be doing, where they should be doing it, with whom they should be doing this project, this part of life with. And that's what we're talking about here today. God is helping us by design having a blessed life. And so I just pray, God, as I threw these categories out, and that they will catch the one that they need to work on. They'll catch the one that the area that they're passionate about, the area that you've been dealing with them about maybe for quite some time, and you're ready to launch them into a new area of life, a new area of living. That by the end of this year, they will be absolutely amazed at where they are because they set some simple, very doable goals. It's what their heart is passionate about. It's what they'd love to do if they just really believed in themselves and believed they could do. And so I pray right now for every person on the sound of my voice that you'll give us faith to believe. Increase our faith to believe, Lord. You put a lot of value and worth in each individual in this room. They're created in your own image. They are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God according to your word, which we believe here. And so we ask in Jesus' name that you would take one or two of these categories that they need to begin to look at and focus on, that you'll guide their eyes and their mind to one or two of these categories and say, this year, this is your year. This year, you're going to excel in this area. This year is going to be different than it's ever been before because they're going to make effort and they're going to put intention to their efforts and focus and they'll be amazed. I just believe that with all my heart. And I thank you, God, in advance for giving them the courage and the faith to launch in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ in your heart, we don't want to forget you today. But you say, you know what, that needs to be my goal. I need to get right with Christ. I need to have that spiritual part right. And if you're here today, if you'd lift your hand, I'd like to just say a prayer over you that leads you to Christ, a prayer of repentance, and watch Christ work in your life. Is there one today that say, you know, okay? Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else? It all starts with truth. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Thank you, Brian. Anyone else? We're not in a hurry, but we're going to move on. Don't miss your blessing. Thank you, Devin. Heavenly Father, for all those that lift their hand today, that's just their way of saying, God, that's me. I want my spiritual part to be right, so as we launch this series of messages, And as I explore what you've called me to do and set my goals, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll forgive them right now, and that whatever's not right in their heart right now, they'll turn and they'll repent and give it all to you. And if you raise your hand, would you just repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I repent from my sin. Forgive me. I turn to you and I accept your saving grace. And as I accept your grace, Lord, I am clean. I'm yours, Lord. Would you just say that? I'm yours, Lord. I give my life to you. Use me for your glory. Reveal to me the goals that you've set for my life. Help me to find that path. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. Would you give a hand to those that were bold enough? Thank you for raising your hand today. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen.